I was perched at a cliff's edge, with Denise in dragon form and a group of witches, who were all now also doomed to immobility and a sea goddess, since Morgana's death hadn't ended her contagious curse.
She comes!
Oh my goodness! Oh, she's coming!
The witches tried to turn toward the sea, but couldn't. They did manage to crane their necks a little, though, so I followed the direction of their gaze. The sea boiled. That's the only way I could describe the froth of white that poured from the tops of the waves. Then those white tips began to spin in a circle, forming a maelstrom that slowly approached the thin strip of remaining beach.
High tide is here! The sea goddess is coming!
And Denise and I were still magically marked as her sacrifices. But we weren't the only ones. Not anymore.
New plan! Any witch that can still move better conjure something up to break Morgana's spell, or we're all about to be Sea Goddess Jum.
Blast for me!
The witch's broken speech concerned me more than her refusal. It meant the immobility spell had almost completed its work. The witches around her looked in equally bad shape. None of you could chant a counterspell if your lives depended on it. And they do. I gave a frustrated look around.
Someone has to be in better shape than this! We haven't been up in every witch's face this entire time!
I turned back, oh my god, to see that the witch who'd said blasphemy would never speak again. And it wasn't because of the spell. No, it was because her head was rolling near my feet, while the rest of her body was still frozen upright.
Who else wants to tell my wife that they won't help her?
Bones?
Nope. I wasn't hallucinating this, either. Somehow, Bones was here.
Hello, kitten.
Spade was behind him, moving slower because he had a cannon-like object strapped to his back, multiple ammunition belts crisscrossed over his torso, and two mega-sized machine guns in his hands. He looked up at the huge dragon as his spiky black hair blew around his pale, handsome features.
Darling, love your new look.
Denise's expression, even as a dragon, was openly shocked.
Who's got a cell phone handy? I need a picture of this. A dragon making that face is the perfect meme.
She's even drunker than we are, Crispin.
Indeed.
Drunker than, huh?
Belatedly, it struck me that Spade's normally aristocratic tones were distinctly slurred, and Bones swayed a touch. I also hadn't felt them approach. And they were master vampires, with auras that crackled the air around them with their power. So I should have felt them, unless they'd both dropped out of thin air.
That devious demon!
Exactly what I said when I learned he'd known of your predicament for days. But that's off topic.
Ashale knew Denise and I weren't involving our husbands while we were contagious. But had he respected our wishes? No. He'd teleported them here himself.
At least it looks like he pumped you full of his blood first.
What's on topic, kitten, is that if anyone wants to leave here alive, you will remove the hex from these women now.
Or I will hunt you down and slaughter everyone you love. After I've finished murdering you in the most painful way possible.
That's dark, Spade.
Bones, they can't chant away a curse in their condition, even if they want to.
And since they're now marked as sacrifices too, most of them probably do want to. But that immobility spell is hella effective.
Oh.
Did, you know who leave you any extra blood?
No. But we should be able to share our spell buffering through our blood.
That's right. Bones turned to the nearest witch, ripped his wrist open with a fang, and held it to her lips.
Drink.
Her eyes widened, but with Bones willing his blood into her mouth, she had no choice except to swallow.
Right then.
Spade swung one of the machine guns over his shoulder and fed another witch some of his demon-fortified blood. I immediately opened my wrist and held it over the mouth of the witch next to me. She swallowed twice before her eyes widened and she fell over.
Silver!
Then her eyes rolled back in her head and she spasmed as if I'd stabbed her.
Oh, shit! My blood is now vampire poison, thanks to those damned silver venom snakes.
Kitten?
I'd probably be on the ground next to this witch, if not for all the demon blood I've consumed.
The sea spray was now swirling so high that it had reached the top of the cliff. It looked like a water spout. If one of those could trail a waterfall behind it like a cape. But this was no natural phenomenon.
It's the sea goddess!
Silver poisoning is now the least of our problems. Bones, you and Spade need to leave.
No, not a bloody chance, kitten.
You and Spade have already been exposed to us for too long. If you don't go now, you'll end up marked as sacrifices too.
And if any of these witches want to survive the next 5 minutes, they'll undo your hex right now.
We can do it. Most of us never wanted to sacrifice kids anyway. We wanted to go after murderers or pedophiles, like she said.
How dare you? We honor the old ways.
Times change, and I want to live long enough to change with them.
Wise choice. Now, point to the most powerful among you, and be sure to pick those with good survival instincts, because if they cross me, you'll eat your own heart.
Her and her.
Oh, and those two.
Bones and Spade began giving more of their blood to the witches they indicated. At the same time, the dragon abruptly deflated, like it was no more than a very elaborate balloon. Then Denise rose up naked from the remnants of her leftover scales.
Do you have clothes on under that robe?
Yes.
Then pardon me.
Spade yanked off the witch's robe, revealing jeans and a Miley Cyrus t-shirt, and tossed it to Denise.
Thank you.
Denise put on the robe, then ripped her wrist across the fangs of the next witch.
Denise, no!
The witch's eyes widened as she swallowed. Only a Shale's blood would have been more potent, and one taste gave away the source of Denise's powers. It also marked Denise as a vampire's version of a walking drug. The witch sucked at Denise's wrist as if she were starving, until Denise yanked her arm away.
Okay, that's enough.
Wait, I need more.
No more. Now chant away that hex with the rest of them.
No, please. I need more. Just one more drink.
Suddenly, the witch's arm tore free. Then her own hand reared back and slapped her in the face.
I said chant!
Even high, being slapped with her own dismembered limb was enough to scare the witch into complying.
Okay, I should give less of my blood to the next witch.
That aquatic tornado came closer. I tried to back away.
What?
And suddenly found that I couldn't. This wasn't the immobility spell acting up again. I could move closer to the writhing, spinning waterspout. I just couldn't move away from it.
Cat?
Denise abruptly stopped giving blood to the other witches. Her widened hazel eyes met mine.
You didn't do that because you wanted to, did you?
No.
Then the markings on Denise's forehead started to glow, at the same time that my own forehead began to burn. I wanted to scream. I also wanted to hurl every weapon ever created at the towering funnel of water, which was coming ever closer. And I couldn't. I could do nothing at all. Despite my best efforts, I'd lost. And I wasn't the only one about to pay the price.
Denise, I'm so sorry. Oh, why can't it just be me? Why does it have to be her too? I went after the witches. Denise has done nothing to deserve this.
Kitten?
Bones was suddenly in front of me, blocking my view of the approaching sea goddess.
Time to go.
Bones picked me up, but when he tried to carry me away, he couldn't budge me, despite his feet digging furrows into the ground from his efforts.
Right. Try the other way.
Then his power flared until my skin burned from the residual energy. And still, I didn't move a fraction. Whatever magic that marked me as the sea goddess's sacrifice now anchored me to her path, despite Bones pitting all his physical and telekinetic strength against it.
Bones, I might not be able to leave, but you can. You have to go now.
Kitten?
I can't let you die too. I'd rather be fed to that watery monstrosity 1,000 times than be the cause of that.
I shoved at him with all my strength.
Please, go! Please! You can't let her take you, too!
She's not getting either of us, kitten.
I wish that were true, but I can only save one of us.
I forced back every screaming emotion enough to crease my face into a smile. I wouldn't let his last memory be of me crying. In so many ways, I had nothing to cry about. I'd been so, so lucky. I'd had more love than I had ever dared to wish for, and I'd take the memory of that with me, wherever I went.
It's okay. A little thing like death can't separate us. Not in any way that truly matters. So be the father that Katie needs and leave.
I am being the father Katie needs, kitten.
Bones tightened his arms around me, while he kept me locked out of his emotions.
That's why I'm not letting this waterlogged bitch take her mother.
He looked at me and Denise, then turned to the witches.
If either one of them dies, every last one of you will beg for a merciful end. So bloody well chant!
As the waterspout reached the cliff's edge, the witch's desperation was clear, even if I couldn't understand what they were saying.
Oh, Spade's unleashing his arsenal. No one stops chanting!
Now the waterspout parted, and then fell away like a discarded cape. In its place was a 7-foot-tall, mostly humanoid woman. Frothy seafoam trailed from her head.
She reminds me of that Bible verse. It leaves a glistening wake behind, as if the deep had white hair.
Her skin was the color of moonlight on water. Not blue, not silvery white, but changing between each color with every glance. And her face? I shuddered even as I fought the urge to kneel. Her face was the very essence of the sea. In one moment, stunningly beautiful, and the next, pitilessly violent.
Guess Charles finally ran out of ammo. Not that it's had any effect.
He may as well have been firing rounds into the deepest part of the ocean.
Spade hurled one of the assault rifles at the sea goddess. It passed through her and disappeared over the cliff. Somehow, that got her attention better than all the bullets, because the swirling twin maelstroms in her face, which marked her eyes, now settled on Spade.
No! Leave, Spade! Hurry!
Like hell I will! Wherever you go, I go. Crispin, you know what to do.
The sea goddess came closer, flowing over the ground like a river rushing over stones. The markings on my forehead that denoted me as her sacrifice kept burning as if they'd been set on fire. I knew it was useless, but I tried to back away again, and didn't gain so much as an inch. Bones turned to the witches, his power flashing out in rolling waves.
Lost chance!
The goddess looked away from Spade to focus her strange, swirling eyes on me.
Bones! Leave! Please!
Not a chance, kitten.
Still, the goddess didn't look away from me. Then her arm rose, water falling from her fingers as she reached for me. The pain in my forehead stopped with the same abruptness that her arm dropped. Then, she recoiled from me as if I were foul.
Bloody hell! They did it!
All of a sudden, I was moving too, my surroundings blurring from speed as Bones flew us away. He must have decided that flying us in the opposite direction wasn't enough. He was flying us up and away, too. For a few blissful seconds, I didn't care. All I focused on was the feel of his arms around me, the sweet sting of his hair whipping against my cheek, and his scent, like creme brulee combined with the finest whiskies. I didn't even feel pain from the silver or my many unhealed injuries. I was too happy.
At last, we're free. All of us.
Well, not all of us.
What do you mean?
Ashale said if we broke the curse, the sea goddess would require a substitutional sacrifice for me and Denise. Morgana mentioned the same thing.
We had to sacrifice one of our sisters who survived your butchery, because our goddess had already been summoned, and lifeblood is required after a summoning.
So? I'm sure Charles got Denise away as soon as she could move.
That freckled boy, he's still there. And the sea goddess still needs at least two sacrifices. Bones, we have to go back.
Either Bones couldn't hear me, or he was ignoring me, because he didn't slow a bit.
Bones, we have to go back!
I punched his arm for emphasis.
There's a kid back there they're going to kill!
Bloody.
We've left a helpless kid alone with a bunch of witches who have shown no hesitation when it comes to murdering innocents to appease their goddess. We have to go back.
Oh, son of a pustule-ridden syphilitic pillock.
That Bones did do an aerial version of a U-turn. Soon I saw the battered, half-collapsed side of Alamir Falls again. The witches were still there, blue robes fluttering as they scurried about to rebuild the bonfire. That's all I saw before Bones headed toward the lower part of the trail, further down from the bluffs.
Wait, where are you?
Stay here.
Don't leave me here!
He ignored me, and now I was a few miles away from the cliff.
No, you don't.
As I ran up the trail, each movement felt like evil pixies were stabbing me inside. But silver or no, I wasn't staying behind. The curse was off me now, so I was in no more danger from the sea goddess than Bones. He refused to let me face her alone earlier. I'll be damned if I let him do that now. Still, it took several aching minutes to climb to the top of the trail, and I passed more than a few robed, headless bodies along the way. From how they were still in the process of shriveling, these looked like very recent deaths. Apparently, Bones decided to make an entrance. I was about to skirt by them when I heard frantic thoughts combined with a rapid heartbeat in the bushes to my right.
Must stay hidden. Please don't let them find me.
I yanked the thickest part of the bushes aside and found myself staring into wide, panicked brown eyes.
Oh, thank God you're still alive.
Don't hurt me.
And that you had the presence of mind to hide, too. Good job.
Stay back. You stay away from me.
His eyes darted in every direction, reminding me of a panicked horse. I was anxious to get to Bones, but I couldn't leave the kid like this.
Look, you have every reason to be freaked out. You've seen things tonight that I haven't seen before, and I've seen a lot.
That's why I didn't bother telling him to trust me. He wouldn't. Or to calm down. In his state, he couldn't. Instead, I fired up the glow in my gaze and put all the power I had left into my voice.
You're okay now. You partied with the wrong girls tonight, and they slipped you drugs that made you hallucinate some wild stuff. But you'll be fine.
Wrong girls. Wild stuff.
Yes, but none of it was real. It was just the drugs.
Just the drugs.
Now, you're safe, and you'll be going home soon, so you're not afraid anymore. But for a little while, you're gonna close your eyes and stay right here.
Stay right here.
He shut his eyes.
Good.
Now he'd be calm and stay put until I could come back to get him. I put the thickest part of the bush back in place, concealing him again, and resumed my trek.
By the time I reached the top of the bluff, the bonfire was lit, the sea goddess was swaying in front of it, and Bones was emitting so much supernatural energy that approaching him felt like walking into an electrical storm.
I don't care which ones you sacrifice, so hurry it up.
Okay.
He was speaking to the first witch who'd agreed to undo the hex. A young woman with black hair, high cheekbones, and tawny skin. And I was struck with an idea.
Wait! Don't pick just any witches!
Huh?
Point out all of Morgana's cronies that supported her child's sacrifices. If the rest of you really want to change your coven's ways, now's your chance.
No!
That came from a 40-something-year-old witch, with parchment-pale skin and iron-colored hair.
Guess we know which side you were on.
Several witches tried to run. Bones' telekinetic power flashed out, stopping them faster than the immobility spell.
That one too!
The pretty black-haired witch pointed to another, who was trying to nonchalantly back away toward the trail.
And that one.
Her too.
Bones' power reeled them all back toward the sea goddess, 8 in all. Far more than the substitutional requirement to replace me, Denise, and the kid.
Wow, the sea goddess will feast tonight. That must be her watery underworld version of Nummy Nummy.
Spade landed near the edge of the bluff, Denise in his arms.
Not finished yet, Crispin?
Almost, Charles.
Quiet. We're about to begin.
I don't want to watch this.
But I didn't trust them enough not to watch. So I stayed where I was and shut my mouth. The 8 sacrificial witches didn't.
I believe your friend said quiet.
So Bones froze their lips as well as their bodies.
Oh, Nachiava Smola Kaleen.
That made it easy for the dark-haired witch to trace those burning patterns onto their foreheads, marking them as sacrifices. When she was done, she stepped back, and the sea goddess surged forward. Then the goddess passed her hand over them, giving each a single touch before backing away.
That was it? That hardly looked lethal.
The witches suddenly collapsed. In the split second it took them to fall to the ground, they had all turned into water, leaving only multiple splashes to hit the rocks instead of their bodies. The splashes were quickly absorbed into the sea goddess, until the former 8 witches were nothing more than another sheen of liquid on her glistening form. Then she too turned into water, splashing back down the cliff and into the waiting sea.
Oh, I would have been less disturbed if she'd opened her mouth and eaten them whole.
Really, kitten?
At least that would have left the witches who they were.
But she reduced them to nothing at all, in less time than it took to blink.
The reality of that hit me like a brick to the head.
That could have been me and Denise.
It was supposed to be us.
And the sea goddess was reaching for me, right before the spell broke. She came so close to touching me.
Bones' shields cracked, and his emotions burst through. Rage exploded through my subconscious, almost knocking me flat. Clearly, I wasn't the only one thinking about how close I'd come to being a splash on the ground and absorbed into the goddess. Then that door slammed shut again, as he turned back to the black-haired witch.
You were going to do this to my wife?
We had no choice. You saw how powerful Morgana was.
She ruled us for over 400 years. Anyone who challenged her was fed to the goddess.
Oh, you'll wish for such a quick death.
The witch's eyes bulged and their necks stretched to an impossible length, until they all resembled taffy being pulled by a machine.
Bones, stop!
Why? They meant this for you and Denise. They did this to who knows how many young lads. They all deserve to die.
But then none of them will be left to tell the other covens that the sacrifice of innocence stops now.
Bones' face was set in hard, unreadable planes. But for an instant, His shields cracked again, and I felt admiration threading through his vengeance-fueled rage. He recognized the logic of letting them live, to warn the others about changing their ways, even though he really, really wanted to kill them. We found this group through their magic. In the same way, we can find the others too. So they all need to know that we'll be checking up on them to make sure the Covens only sacrifice the worst of humanity from now on.
Very well. With these terms, you may live.
The witches next stopped stretching. The ones that were vampires recovered in a few seconds, but the few humans among them dropped to the ground dead. The black-haired witch gave a solemn nod. First to me, then to Bones.
We'll do things differently from now on.
And we'll make sure that we're not the only coven.
Otherwise, you won't have to find the others through magic, because I'll tell you where they are.
With that, a cloud of smoke poofed out. In the moments it took to clear, all of the witches had disappeared. Even their dead were now gone. I blinked in disbelief.
If they had the ability to teleport themselves out of here, why didn't they leave before now?
Because that's not teleportation.
No one had been sitting on the edge of the makeshift stone bonfire seconds ago. Now, a shale perched there, as comfortably as if he were getting ready to toast some marshmallows.
That's a parlor trick.
Really?
It stuns the senses for a few seconds, so it looks as if they've teleported away, when in reality, they've scurried out of here as fast as they could run. Still, it takes a bit of doing to momentarily daze vampire senses. Before they absorbed residual power from their goddess's feeding, they couldn't have pulled off such a trick.
That explains why they didn't do it before.
But I get why they did it now. Fake teleportation or no, it got them out of here before you changed your mind about letting them live.
A shale. Been loitering about? Watching this whole time, have you?
Moi? Of course not. My presence would have violated my race's treaty with the other gods. I would never do that.
Indeed.
Just as I would never add a dollop of magic to the witch's hex-dissolving spell because the silly birds couldn't conjure up enough power to do it on their own.
My jaw dropped. A shale had topped off the witch's undoing spell in time to save us? Denise ran up to a shale and threw her arms around him.
Oh, you beautiful, beautiful demon!
I am.
A shale patted Denise's back.
But as I said, I would never do such a thing. That's against the rules. And an obedient fellow like me always follows the rules.
Of course you do. My mistake.
A shale winked at her, then held out a tiny glass bottle to me.
Drink this before they cut the silver out of you. It'll help.
Oh, thanks, but if that's more of your blood...
The shale was gone before I finished the sentence. Bones and Spade exchanged a look. Then Bones picked up the bottle.
Not blood. Smells like flowers.
It could smell like fresh manure. I'll still drink it as long as it's not more demon blood.
I've had enough of being high.
Thank God.
But if this stuff makes me pass out, or if the silver extraction does, the kid that the witches brought here is down the path in the bushes.
Is he okay?
He's bruised, but otherwise fine. And I gave him a new memory of what happened tonight.
We'll see him home safely. Now, let Crispin tend to you. You look ghastly, Cat.
Thanks.
Cat?
Denise didn't speak, and neither did I. We just stared at each other. And then we started to laugh, because otherwise, we might have cried. We'd both been through so much these past few days that it would take time to fully process everything. All I knew right now was that I had the best friend in the world. Oh, and that I'd never forget this girl's getaway.
Same time next year?
Over my dead body.
Sure. Only next time, I pick the location and venue.
Deal. I hugged her.
Is hugging okay? I don't want to hurt you.
Everything's at maximum pain anyway, so don't worry.
Speaking of that, we need to get that silver out of you, love. Want to try Ashale's potion first?
Yeah, sure. Maybe I'll be lucky and Ashale brought me the vampire version of Novocaine.
I took the bottle and downed it.
Well?
Tastes like rose water. And I don't feel high, so it isn't more demon blood.
I wonder what it is, and how it's supposed to help.
So far, I don't feel anything. Hey! I don't feel anything!
I poked myself in the ribs, which should have doubled me over, since most of them hadn't healed. That all I felt was the give where my finger pressed in.
It's the magical version of anesthesia! I will never forget Ashale's birthday. Assuming demons celebrate birthdays.
Ready, kitten?
I can't feel anything, so go ahead and cut away.
Bones' phone started vibrating. So did Spade's. Bones ignored his, but Spade pulled out his phone.
Ugh.
What is it, Charles?
It's Ian, texting over and over to say something's wrong with Kat and Denise and to call him at once.
It took him 3 days to listen to our messages? Remind me not to call him in an emergency again.
Sure, I'd almost died. Plus, I had a gruesome supernatural surgery in front of me. But now that I was free of pain, free of a deadly spell, free of the fear that I doomed my best friend, and free to go home with the man I loved, I was in the best mood ever.
Yeah, well, better late than never, right?
3 days later, I walked through the woods bordering our house in the southwesternmost part of Canada. Pine needles crunched beneath my feet, announcing my presence well before Katie could see me through the thick trees. But this time, I wanted her to hear me approach. I was done spying on her. I reached the clearing where she was training.
Hey.
Hi.
Katie normally had the poise of someone 3 times her age. Another reminder of how her childhood had been robbed from her. But now her shoulders hunched ever so slightly as she glanced at the felled trees around her. They hadn't fallen by natural means, which would be obvious even if I hadn't known what she'd been doing out here. I nudged one of the fallen saplings with my foot.
Clean break all the way through. One kick did it, huh?
You know?
Yeah, honey. I know. Katie turned a shade paler. I'm not mad at you either. I just want to know why you were hiding it from me. She didn't say anything for several moments. I waited, schooling my features not to show anything except love and acceptance. I needed her to know that she could tell me anything, no matter what it was, because nothing would ever, ever make me stop loving her. Katie looked at her feet instead of me.
I didn't want you to see me this way.
What way?
The way I looked when I killed people.
Now she looked up at me, and her dark gray eyes contained more pain than any child's gaze should have.
I never used to think about them, but now I see them in my dreams. And it isn't like before, because now I care.
Oh, sweetie.
I only saw them as targets before. Messy ones because of all the blood, but just targets. So when they begged, it was only noise. And when they died, I was glad because that meant I passed the test. They were only targets and tests to me back then.
My eyes burned, and my throat felt like a hot coal was stuck in it. But I refused to cry. This wasn't about me. It was about Katie. And I needed to let her get all of this out, because there was so much more here than I'd realized.
But now I know there were people who wanted to live. And I remember what they said when they begged me. And I know what I took from them when they died. because now I love people too. And I want to take back what I did, but I can't.
You are not to blame for their deaths. The people who turned you into a weapon are. You didn't know any better, because you were only a child. They did know better, and they used you anyway. So they're the real murderers, not you.
Most days, I understand this.
Katie swiped a hand across her eyes, catching the single tear that had fallen.
But then I see them in my dreams, and it brings it all back.
Oh, my poor little girl. How she'd suffered. And worse, she'd suffered alone. Even though I'd been right there the whole time. I squelched my knee to hug her and tell her I'd make it all better. I had to let her talk. She'd carried this inside her long enough.
Training is the only thing that makes them go away. So I keep coming out here to train.
How does training make them go away?
Because they know I'm doing this for them.
Katie gestured at the pile of felled trees.
I can't take back what I've done, but I'm going to make sure that I'm strong enough and fast enough to stop other people from hurting those like them in the future. So instead of being the weapon that kills people who need help, I'll be the person that saves them. Like you.
Like me? That was it. I was going to ugly cry. There would be rivers of snot. I might never recover from it. But first, just be who you are, Katie. Not who you think you should be.
Huh?
Who you are is enough. It will always be enough. And you don't have to hide your training from me anymore. You don't have to hide any part of yourself. Ever. Her eyes shone, and the lump in my throat felt like it had detonated. I love all of you, and I always will. In fact, if you want to, I'll even train with you. If you're gonna do this, let's make it a little fun. I shifted into a classic fighting stance. Now Katie's gaze clouded with skepticism.
Thank you, but I don't know if that would be a good idea.
How come?
I'm a very skilled fighter. I don't want to hurt you.
Oh! I almost burst out laughing. In addition to still wanting to cry myself into a state of snotasia. Oh, honey. You have a lot to learn.
Like what?
First, that I'll always love you and be here for you. No matter what.
That's not fighting, though.
Second, is that your mama might not be able to cook, so, or hold a conversation without dropping at least one F-bomb, but she can fight until the cows come home.
You can?
Or at least tonight, I can fight until Bones finishes dinner, in about an hour.
Okay.
Come on, sweetie. I started to circle Katie, while I cracked my knuckles and rolled my head around my shoulders to loosen up. This is what your mama does best.
Night Huntress 8, A Grave Girl's Getaway, is a graphic audio production. Copyright 2021 by Janine Frost. All rights reserved. Recorded by arrangement with the author. Production copyright 2026. Graphic Audio LLC. All rights reserved. Unauthorized download and or duplication is prohibited. Narrated by Yasmin Toison. Featuring Elena Anderson as Denise. Lamont Rigel as Ashale. Danny Gavigan as Bones. Mecca Rogers as Katie. Holly Adams as Justina. Yasmin Toison as Kat. And Sarah Ruth Thomas as Morgana. With additional performances by Alex Hill Knight, Brian Kim McCormick, Chris Stinson, Crystal Lee, Danielle Cohen, Debbie Tinsley, Dominique Salvation, Jerry J. Marshall, Jessica Threet, Karen Novak, Kelly Baskin, Lolita Horn, Marnie Penning, Morgan Della Betta, Nicole Shera, Nora Ashradi, Renee Dorian, and Rita Amparita. Adapted for graphic audio by Yasmin Twazon. Directed for graphic audio by Yasmin Twazon and Nora Ashradi. Dialogue editing and graphic audio sound design by Peter Cassio. Produced by Colleen Delaney, Scott McCormick, David Zitney, Casey Green, and Aaron Coe. Executive producers, Angie Cornett, Dwayne Beeman, and Matt Webb. If you enjoyed Night Huntress, you might also enjoy these other series. Blood and Ash by Jennifer L. Armentrout. The Four Horsemen by Laura Thalassa. Or Mercy Thompson by Patricia Briggs. These and many more titles are available from Graphic Audio at www.graphicaudio.net. Keep listening for a preview of Mercy Thompson 8, Night Broken.
Houtman residence, can I help you?
Is so Adam I there? Told him.
Arielle cut off her story. Her sensitive ears were caught by the familiar voice on the line, my husband's ex-wife.
I need Adam.
Christy Houtman sounded desperate.
Mom? Mom, what's wrong?
Yes, Adam!
Mom?
Jesse gave me a frantic look.
Adam!
He was in the living room talking to Daryl and a few of the pack who had lingered after breakfast.
Christy is on the phone for you.
It wasn't the first time Christy had called needing something. Dealing with Christy was usually enough to give me a stomachache, not because of anything she could do to me or Adam, but Jesse, who loved her mother but was currently fighting to keep liking her, suffered every time that woman called. There was nothing I could do to stop it.
He's coming, Mom.
Please, tell him to hurry.
Desperate, hysterical tears. Those weren't unusual, but she sounded scared, too. And that wasn't anything I'd heard before. Adam walked into the room, and from his grim face, I could tell he'd heard at least part of what Christy had said. He took the handset from Jesse, but hugged her with the other arm. Jesse's eyes grew watery under his comforting hold. She gave me a frantic look before bolting away out the door and up the stairs, presumably to her room, where she could collect herself.
What do you need?
Can I come home?
Arielle glanced at me, but I was already wearing my blank face. She wouldn't be able to tell what I was thinking from my expression.
This isn't your home. Not anymore.
Adam! Oh, Adam! I'm in trouble. I need to come home. I've been so stupid. He won't leave me alone. He hurt me. He killed a friend of mine, and he follows me everywhere I go. Can I come home, please?
That wasn't anything I'd expected. Arielle quit trying to pretend she wasn't listening to every word and jerked her face toward the phone.
Call the police. That's what they're there for.
He'll kill me. Adam, he'll kill me. I don't have anywhere else to run. Please.
Werewolves can tell when people are lying. So can some of the other supernatural critters running around, like me, for instance. Over the phone is a lot trickier because a lot of the telltale signs involve heartbeat and smell, neither of which is possible to detect over a phone line. But I could hear the truth in her voice. Adam looked at me.
Tell her to come.
What else could I say? If something happened to her when we could help? I wasn't sure if I could live with that. I knew that Adam couldn't. Arielle continued to watch me. She frowned, finally turned away, and started to dry the dishes again.
Adam, please!
Adam narrowed his eyes at me and didn't say anything.
Adam!
I turned to find Mary Jo in the doorway. She is a firefighter, tough and smart.
She is owed by the pack for the years that she was yours. Let her come home and the pack will protect her.
He gave Mary Jo a look and she dropped her eyes.
It's okay, Adam.
Thanks for listening to this Graphic Audio production. Graphic Audio has over 1,700 titles to choose from. Listen to over 225 binge-worthy series. We feature titles in genres like science fiction, fantasy, romanticy, westerns, mystery thrillers, comics, and more. Check out our exclusive series such as Deathlands, Rogue Angel, Outlanders, Tangent Knights, and Agent of Exiles, which are only available in our dramatized adaptation format. Experience a radically different type of audiobook produced with a full cast, sound effects, and cinematic music. Listen to a movie in your mind. On the go, anytime, anywhere. Our dramatized adaptation titles are available at all major audiobook retailers and platforms. Sign up for our email newsletter for the latest updates and new releases. Follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, YouTube, and other social platforms. For more information and samples of all our titles, visit our website at graphicaudio.net.